This is not a political announcement. This is a call to action. Help build bridges across age, culture, and race with the Living History Heritage Tour. Simply by voting, your vote will help provide schools and underserved communities free access to Living History Heritage Project's historical reenactments of Omar ibn Said and the Prince Among Slaves, along with the Timbuktu Artifacts exhibit. From this moment on until November 30th, 2011.
Graduate. Ain't nothing cool about the streets but a body temp. Your soul levitates. It gets heavy, no featherweight. Let us pray for a better day. Stop the violence, for heaven's sake.
You know, silence is worse than the violence itself. Hands that build kingdoms, so deceiving and misleading. Save us, striking the land, tragedy again. Money, power, and gold, I don't want to say the problems, the pain, the solutions, they heal.
Up to sundown. On the outside, this man couldn't put his gun down. Should have thought about it before he let off that one round.
We've been silent for too long, it's overdue in time we speak. Instead of ourselves, it's time we make the violence cease. It's all dead. Forget it, move on and keep treading. Negativity setting, let's straight and level headed. It's time we make the gun stop. Let's get our youth to practice a jump shot instead of a gunshot. I'm speaking to y'all, I ain't trying to lecture you. It's relevant and it's evident. Manifest words. They say we're too small to take down a giant, but this here's the slingshot that struck down Goliath. The old days are gone, it's time for a new approach. Black on black crimes are set up, they don't need a rope. UDF carries blunts and wine, but refuses to sell condoms. They're a part of the crown. Injustice is amongst us, it's time that we rise. Put your index and middle fingers up in the sky.
All I see is people decreasing with a ton of sense of action. Why rhyme for a reason? Every day another family is grieving. We need to bond together, be our community's beacon. Not for a day or for a season, but for a lifetime, because this violence only weakens the neighborhood, so we need to put a peace in. Try to reverse the ugliness of what a peace is.
Today there's a story about arms firing. The news on the news ain't too admiring. Finds himself in something more inspiring. Violence ain't the answer, just the cancer to society. Gotta make a way, it's time to be role models. Cause what you do, the next generation follows. Use your brain, I know your skull ain't that hollow. Play it clean, lead, and watch the people follow.
And if you're choking on your pride, then you need to swallow. It's time to aim for the point, and I ain't talking hollow. Let's take the fingers off the trigger, throw the guns in the river, for they can't hardly find you like Waldo. Just listen to the song, yo. Revolutionary movement going bozo. With this neighborhood and that neighborhood, if we all work together, we can save the hood.
We are in a state of urgency. Your host for this moment in time is Mary Pat Hector of Youth in Action and Youth in Move.
Hi, Ms. Jacqueline. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine. Recently, what we've been doing is right now we're focusing on our town hall meeting. It's going to be at 632 People Street in Atlanta, Georgia, tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And we're going to be talking about, we're going to be making solutions on how we can decrease violence in school.
Okay.
And that's really what we've been working on. And we're going to have a lot
all
of
right.
callers calling today and talk about different issues and how they feel like we can stop it and just kind of chime in about incidents that have happened to them in school.
Okay. Well, you do have a couple callers on the line. So can everyone introduce yourself, starting with 678773?
Hi, yes, this is Troya. Hi, thanks for having me on the show. Hello, Mary Pat.
Hello, Ms. Troya.
Hi, first, I want to say thanks for having us on and thanks for taking the time out of your show to bring more awareness to violence and trying to help stop the violence. I love the music, by the way. And I also want to say a big thanks to Mary Pat for working so hard to try to bring an end to violence with youth and in schools. My name is Troy. I work with the National Action Network. And basically what we're doing with the network, too, is really trying to bring attention to violence. We have so many different cases that come across our desk where there are kids being killed, whether it's by a cop or another kid in the street. And we have to continue to get together to come up with real effective solutions to end violence, but especially in schools. So tomorrow we want everybody to come out at 6 p.m. to our town hall meeting so that we can really have a solution-oriented discussion on how we can logistically, effectively put measures into our schools to stop violence.
All righty. Well, the next caller, can you, first I want to say thank you, you know, for the compliment, but, you know, this is basically how I live. I've been doing this all my life, and I've been working with Stopping the Violence and youth all my life, so this is basically how I live, and it's a platform to serve. So I'd like the caller from 770, can you introduce yourself? Hello, the caller from the 770.
Hi, this is Maya.
Hi, Maya.
What organization are you from, Maya? I'm with Youth in Action. I'm the national president.
Okay. Mary Pat?
Yes.
Did you hear Maya?
Yes. Is there anyone else on the call, Ms. Jacqueline?
No, that's it for this moment. Those are all the callers for right now.
All right, well, right now, Ms. Troy, I know that you've just been working on a case, actually, that has something to do with violence and injustice in the system, school system, with young people, with teenagers, and, you know, and teachers. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, the case that we're one of the cases that we're working on, we actually went to court today about that case. We had two young men involved in an altercation in school, and this time there actually was a kid who was not involved in the fight, who was trying to break up a fight as a concerned citizen, and he was the one who was inadvertently put out of school because his parent also got involved. So we're looking at bullying not only from two other kids, or two kids, but also bullying from the school system to where when a concerned black man stepped into the picture to really help his son, they took a lot of measures to make sure that he felt punished because he did step in for his son. And we really have to work on making sure that we have enough measures in place to support the parents. We hear so many people talking about no parent involvement and where are the men. Well, you do have a lot of men who do love their kids. That's just not something that's seen on TV. But so that's one of the main things that we're looking at, and really trying to be there to support that family and put measures in on the state and the local level and hopefully eventually on the national level to make sure that when these types of incidents do arise, that we're able to deal with them quickly and effectively. And then we had another situation with a young man on December 30th that was gunned down by a security guard, and he too, like four other cases that we have recently in the past 2 weeks, another kid was shot in the back. That is a problem. That's violence. So it's hard to tell kids not to be violent when if there's violence all around them, not only in music, but also just in the street. And it's really sad that a police officer's first instinct when he sees a black kid running is to shoot, not to try to see if he's in danger, not to try to see if he needs help, not to try to intervene in any other way, but to automatically, their automatic response is, I need to be violent. I need to kill this kid. And that's really a problem. And so we're looking at working with DAs on the and the police systems on the front end to try to get more sensitivity training so they can understand the logic, the reason, and the rationale for a black kid. If they see a police, why do they run? Because we scared of y'all. And so a lot to say that violence really is a problem, but it's something that we are addressing, and we're going to continue to address it until we really do see a numerical decrease in the amount of violent incidents reported to us as well as to other agencies.
Yes.
That's really good, Ms. Troya. Like you said not too long ago, She talked about the young man that was shot on the 30th. I heard about that case, and I felt like that something really needed to be done because, I mean, it's getting really ridiculous. Police officers and security guards are shooting their own people. And I feel like something really needs, these are supposed to be the people that are supposed to protect us, you know, also in schools. And I've noticed that they don't care anymore and that we really do need to bring attention and awareness to this particular issue. And that is why it is so important for everybody to come tomorrow. Everyone in the Atlanta metro area should come out to our town hall meeting at 6 o'clock at 602 People Street in Atlanta and just help plan and make solutions and actually talk about eradicating and decreasing violence in our school systems.
Yeah, you guys are, you know, definitely on point. And honestly, it's not a new problem. I hate to say it, but I have seen cops. It got to the point that we have to intervene.
Right.
Because you see cops, you know, wrongfully, you know, too aggressive with black males. A young guy, one New Year's Eve, we had a ball, our theater company, I think it was back in 2006 or something, we had a ball, and we were walking out, and this boy was on a bike, and the cop went and caught him. Now, he's just on a bike. He don't have nothing. He ain't have his hand raised. He grabbed him and everything, and he commenced to beating him down. That we had to shout and say something to stop that man from beating up that child. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he did anything wrong, but it was an extreme response because he wasn't threatening him. He was only on a bike. He had him stopped. He wasn't fighting back. He wasn't doing anything. But he commenced, and those are several scenes that we had to learn at that point to stop and say something instead of just watching. And there's, like, in the school system, a lot of our public schools are just in such poor shape, period.
Right.
And there's definitely no apathy amongst the police. You know, there's a mentality, like, a lot of the violence, we get it in Philadelphia, I know it's happening across the country, you know, a lot of tension between the police and the young people, it's real. Because I know that if they've been selling drugs on my corner forever, I can walk by. It's a couple blocks from me, but it's the main thorough street. But if I go up there and I can tell, and I don't sell drugs or buy drugs or nothing, and I can tell this they're selling drugs, you can't tell me the police, who I keep seeing ride throughout the neighborhood, don't know that some people are selling drugs and can't stop them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this huge hypocrisy out there. And then these same people trying to tell them, it's been so much, crookedness, you know, what they do, they run them up against the wall, they take the drugs themselves, instead of, you know, like the mob or something, and those people being the gangsters, the cops are like the gangsters now.
Mm-hmm.
That has become so widespread, and no, at least in the city of Philadelphia, it became so widespread that this, over the few years, that it's been this huge disrespect for cops. And so, it's like this war, because these young guys is like, they're not going to just get me. They're going to come and rob me. If I'm slinging on the corner, it's a good chance the cops are going to come rob me. If I got a problem, I can't call a cop because they're the ones who robbing me. And, you know, they got this double-edged sword against me. And if they really don't like what I do, they're going to pop me. So
right.
It's like we have to look at, you know, all of these different things that are going on. And the other thing, too, when you do have in your school system, it's one thing that worked in one of the communities near us, they had what they call community safety partners. And these were safety partners that they hired from the community. And what these people did, you know, they act as NTAs, you know, where they, you know, watch what the kids were doing. But they also knew them because they were from the same community. So they may go out and knock on somebody's door and say, why didn't you come to school? Or incident happens in school, but they go find out what actually was happening to find out so-and-so, these families were fighting amongst here, and it spilled over from in the community into the school, and they try to get down, you know, to the crux of the matter in order to, you know, squelch the beef, you know, to stop the fighting. Because a lot of times, you know, vice versa. What happens in school may have started in the community, or if it starts in school, it spills back over into the community. So those were, I know that was a very effective measure in Philadelphia.
Does it have anything in your hands?
Yeah. So, Maya, what, you know, what suggestions are you looking to bring to the table?
One would be, has to be the law that we are creating, that we are working on, which is that a parent will be fined if they don't come and talk with the parent, or if the parent doesn't do anything, if a child is being bullied, or if a child is in a gang and they're doing violence on school property.
Okay. I want to let our listeners know you can call in to 646-716-7994 if you like to chat or to continue listening in. We have about another 9 minutes that we'll be streaming live, but you can still call in and listen at 646-716-7994. Okay, so getting back to that, Mary and Maya, you guys like to talk a little bit more about this. I think Mary told me this was a format that worked in Great Britain.
Yes, we need everyone to come to their solutions tomorrow. To really just talk about the problems that's going on and the solutions, our solutions that we can. So, Ms. Troya, somebody asked, what are your solutions?
Well, the first thing, like Maya said, we do think it's a great idea. And like she was asking about the model that they have in place in Great Britain, basically, you have a certain amount of chances to have an infraction, whether it's a write-up for bullying or we're using the number 10 for 10 unexcused absences, not the excused, but just the unexcused absences. And after a certain level is reached, a parent will be notified that they'll be fined $1,000. So they can either come in, have a meeting, pay that fine, or the alternative is there will still be that overhanging $1,000 fine. But if they're not able to pay that $1,000 fine, then they'll have an option to do 10 days full school days of service inside of the school. And the majority of those days will consist of duties, either bus duty, hall duty, cafeteria duty. And in those duties, that's where most teachers and administrators report there's the most problems with bullying and with kids fighting and not being supervised. So that's going to increase the amount of supervision, and hopefully we're looking for it to decrease the number of violent acts towards other students. Also, that's going to give us an opportunity to have you can call it in-service or classes for parents to actually come in and learn skills and tips on how to actually parent, because there is no rule book for how to raise a child. And unfortunately, a lot of people like to do what their parents did, and that's not always the best thing because times and generation and children, it's just different. So we want to go from that perspective to create a win-win situation for everybody. So if it is that parent who can't afford to pay the fine, then hopefully we'll be able to reach them some way and help them to actually connect to where their children are emotionally and to help with what's going on in the schools.
You know what? Not too long ago, I was talking to Ms. Troy about this, Ms. Jacqueline, but a lot of people think that this particular law is controversial, this idea that I had, but a lot of kids in Great Britain, they have a law for the parents that if the children bully, the parents get 3 strikes. The first strike is a warning. The second strike
is parenting classes, and the third strike is a fine of like $1,000. No, I'm not sure exactly how much the fine is, but it's a fine. And I feel like if they did that here in America, then parents would be a little bit more strict on their kids, and I understand that it's not going to work for everybody. And I understand that it's not going to work for every child. But it will work for some parents, and it will work for some children. And so we have to decrease violence some way. In the Great Britain, the kids, they have had a great decrease in violence out there, and I'm sure that it will probably work in America. For the parents that have been slacking a little bit, to turn around at their kids and say, look, I'm not paying this amount of money. I'm not going to jail. I'm not getting in trouble. You have to do better. And they'll be more strict on their kids as a parent. And I understand that it's not going to work for everybody, but it is going to work for the kids that it needs to work on. And we are going to have a decrease in violence if we do push this law forward. And I feel like something needs to be done. What do you think, Ms. Jacqueline?
Well, I definitely think it will be effective, and you know, like you said, for some, it won't be as effective. It definitely has to be instituted. It can't be like just one of them laws on the books. You know, it has to be instituted all the way around. I know some of the things they've implemented in Philadelphia, like they have truancy police. They got truancy court. These are things, you know, that are set in place to keep them from going to actual courts and different things. So say if someone's caught outside of school during school hours. So if a police sees you during school hours walking around, they'll pick you up, and then they'll take you to the truancy court. And, like, those are the type of, like, inner measures that they've developed to deal with things because, One problem was they were being too extreme because, you know, children being truant can lead to a lot of violence and because they're not in school when they should be. But they found out the reason why a lot of these kids were truant, not necessarily because they were violent, but because they did not have very little home structure or no home structure in place. But what they were sending them, they were doing extreme. They were being sent away to, you know, camps. And so they had found their measure was too extreme. And they started actually creating children who really weren't bad. They started creating bad children because they were putting them in inappropriate places. So, like, it kind of reminds me what they did by setting up their own truancy court. Like I said, they developed a safety partner program. So they actually took the community and, in a sense, like self-policing yourself. And
right.
If you get caught, you know, there are certain measures. You know, if you get caught once, you could get suspended. You have to do detention. All these different things. If you're caught by the truancy, you know, officers, and then if it happens so much, it can actually get reported to family court. And, you know, then you could have to go away. So, you know, I think those things work along with the main thing for the programs. You know, I think to really, really work is when you also partner with the community and everything that you're doing. Because whatever's happening in school is never happening outside of the community. So we've had Safe Carter's program where you actually have people from the community come out, like, you know, we're in the city, so we have row homes, houses that are next to one another in streets. So the kids have to walk to school. So say for around the school, maybe six blocks all the way around the school, people agree to come out of their homes, stand on their porch, just be outside and have a physical presence when it's time for the kids to go to school. Because, you know, that's another issue with the gang and the gang territory. Especially, like, by the time you get to high school, you know, you have to cross somebody's territory, most people, in order to go to school. Most of the people don't just live right around a school. So, they instituted that with the community safe corridors. And the programs that always seem to be the most successful is when schools partner with the community, you know, and the principal, you know, reaches out to the community to find. A lot of times there are certain community activists in different areas who are good at mobilizing the community. So when you create that partnership, you have a better success.
How do you feel about that law, Maya? The law in Great Britain, how they fine the adults instead of the kids. And we were just talking about this the other day when we were meeting at the NAN office with Brian and Charlotte and them, how we were talking about how in Great Britain, instead of really holding the kids accountable, they lock, well, they don't lock the adults up. They punish the parents, basically. And they put it all off on the parents. How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about it, personally? How do you feel about it?
I feel like that's a really great law. Like, we should push that law more.
Why do you feel like
what
that?
Responsibility do you feel the youth should have, though?
You should child be more involved in your child's life.
But what should the youth be involved? Some parents are very involved in their child's life, but the child actually created the crime. They did the deed. So what should be implemented? They should also have to suffer. I mean, I didn't know this was done outside of the youth, because I know there are different programs and like Saturday schools. But what happened? The parent has to go to these classes with the youth.
You see, because I know that, I'm sure in Great Britain, I'm not really as involved with that law, but I'm sure that they do. I will research it, but I'm sure that the kids do get a little bit of, do get punishment. But once you put it off on the parents and you keep talking to the kids and you do finally bring to the table the parents on the law side, the parents are going to make sure that their kids do stay in check. Not all of them, but some of those parents that have really slipped off and is really focused on work, and that is a great parent in that nice neighborhood whose kids don't have a lot of supervision, that do have money, and that want to be a part or about that life, they're going to use more strength on their kids and let them know that they're not going to pay them anymore. And that's what I really want to decrease violence. And that's the reason why I really think that that's a good law in the United States is going to work for some people and decrease a great number of violence in this community in the United States.
And also, too, whenever you do any of these things, you also back it up with resources, because sometimes you find out, like I said, a lot of times kids were going to court and all, and we found out their issue was they didn't have a home to go to. They're stealing because they don't have nothing to eat. You find out all of these other issues. So you have resources, because you may find there are parents that have tried everything. And they actually need support in trying to, you know, get the child in line. So, you know, when you do comprehensive programs, like I said, when you partner with the community and you provide resources, understanding, if it was just one reason why everybody acted out in one way, it wouldn't be that hard to control it. It's a multifaceted problem and a lot of different issues. And a lot of social issues. So you
all
have
right.
to bring those services to the table.
I completely and totally agree with you, Ms. Jacqueline. Now, Ms. Tria.
Uh-huh.
What do you hope to get out of the Channel 4 meeting tomorrow?
Well, I'm hoping to leave with very well thought out concrete solutions that we can bring to different school boards and administrative staff for different school systems in the metro area. Because although we say Atlanta, as you know, we have a lot of different counties and a lot of different school systems. But if we can get a couple really good solid solutions, then we can go to the different decision makers for each county and school board and actually ask to have this plan implemented. And what's really powerful about what we're doing tomorrow is that so many school systems right now are in such dire situations in terms of the increase in violence and the increase in the dropout rate, the increase in truancy, they're at their wit's end. So a lot of people don't know what to do, and because the situation is so bad, I think they're very, very open for suggestions. I spoke to the principal of Morrow High School, which is one of those schools who have had a lot of problems with violence and gang activity. And when I spoke to her and told her that we would like to come and present to her a solution and also speak to the school superintendent, she was thrilled because, you know, she don't know what to do. And a lot of people, just like a lot of parents who don't know how to really parent their children for this particular generation, because what they're going through is really different than what anybody else has ever experienced with a lot of the new technology and cyberbullying. That's just something that's new. So people are at their wit's end, and I want to really come out with something that's concrete that we can go and say, here's what's being done somewhere else, this is what it is, this is how it's going to help, here's how we're going to pay for it, and this is why it's going to work. So that's what I'm hoping to come away with, and I'm really excited about tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. That's the same way I feel, Miss Troya. That's the same way I really do feel, Miss Troya. Why are you talking about Morrow High School? We were not too long ago talking about me and Miss Jacqueline about Morrow High School with a few other people, and talking about how they covered up the violence at their school and how they didn't really bring to the table. How they're paid thousands of dollars a year to keep our young people safe and to make sure that they get quality education and not go to school each day afraid that they're going to get beat up, or afraid that they're going to be jumped into a gang, or afraid that something could happen and they're on school campus and they just hide it and they cover it up, and we really feel like a dust is a dust. And we talked about Mall High School not too long ago. And that's an example of why I really wanted to do the town hall meeting. That's a prime example, because we need to start shaking our violence in our school systems. We need to start shaking our violence in any particular system that we need to. I'm going to start off with the school system, but with each system in the world that we, I mean, school system, what other systems are there? Anything in the United States that ends with system, we need to work on shaking off violence with it.
Absolutely.
Anything, the police system, whatever, we need to work on shaking off violence with it, because for some reason it's getting out of control, and it won't stop or change unless we do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, too, you want to work at, I think I did a post, to shake off violence, but also to shake off apathy. Our people are too apathetic.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, my gosh. That's what allows it. For, you know, the teachers that sit around, and I know there are behavioral issues that most teachers should not have to deal with. I mean, you shouldn't have to deal with all this. You should be able to come and teach. But
right.
A lot of situations sometimes are bred by the teacher's apathy. The fact that you have so many other people teaching our children, and in our school system, they are not required to do diversity training.
That's
give Philadelphia example. We have one of the best in the country African-American history departments written by a historian, Ed. Oh, I can't give his last name right now in my head, but he's a world-renowned historian, and he lives in Philadelphia, and he wrote the entire curriculum, everything from the Songhai. I mean, he takes it all the way back from ancient Africa up to current, and just academically, it's a feather in your cap just to know it academically, the information. But yet the school system has not yet required the teachers to do it. They just, you know, they did the department to say they make their needs, but it's not required. And a lot of them don't have understanding or respect. And just like not just diversity, I think now teachers need to be trained in mental health.
Right, that's very true.
Because there's social issues going on. And
right.
How do you not equip them and prepare them for what you know they're going to encounter? You got all of these generations, they're older now, but, I mean, you had generations of Detroit crazy.
Right.
Now, they're like teens and all now, but their behaviors
you know, the past 20 years, people had to deal with this off-the-chart behavior from children whose parents were on crack.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like all of these things. So these, you know, it's just different things. But the apathy, and then for us as a community, not to allow, not to demand it.
Exactly.
You know, and then we talk about marching and all. Marching is about awareness. I'm so tired of marching. We know what our problems are. What are we going to do about it? Everybody talking about occupying Wall Street. We want to occupy Wall Street. One of our singers said it. And he has it in a song. He even did a video. You want to occupy Wall Street? Stop spending dollars.
Right.
They will start and listen to you. Martin Luther King proved it, but it's like we are too afraid to go that far.
Yep.
You know, so we need to
and
get
so
back.
Concerned with keeping up with the Joneses as well. This it's hard to get certain people to stop spending money because keeping up with the Joneses and having the newest this and the latest that is so much more important than a child's education. And it's sad, but you're absolutely right. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. No problem. No, no. It's just, but you know, it's like it doesn't even have to be. If we, if everyone who's concerned about occupying Wall Street came together for one day and stopped spending, they would give them. They would bring them to their knees to at least listen.
Right.
You know what they did? They turned to. I mean, the proof is in it. They go down and occupy Wall Street. Everybody's sitting around, sitting around. I can't, I mean, I found something online, but I don't know of anyone, and they even covered it on the news, and I know they purposely covered it negatively, but no one could articulate what the demands were of almost any Occupy Wall Street movement. How do you have such a movement and not know what the demands of your movement are? So, of course, nobody paid attention to them. Then when people aren't looking, the cops are beating them up. And
yeah.
And then the news puts such a spin on it as if Occupy Wall Streeters are just loitering, and the people just basically allowed it to happen. And it's so, you know, and it, and this is across all ages and races and all. So
right.
It's just this thing we, I don't know, gotten too comfortable, but we have to get enough is enough. We shouldn't have to have a 9/11 hit us to say we want to move and we want to do something.
Right.
Because we, you know, because if we don't do something soon, we are going to be hit like a 9/11 or have stuff that happened like after Katrina. You know, I know
okay.
Since Katrina happened, there have been people saying preparedness, 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 preparedness training. You know, they're like, you know, all out, you know, in the wilderness. And I think hardly no one has taken the time to take preparedness classes. And they've been offered free, minimal cost. And these things are going to come upon us. And so it's just like we're ostriches with our head in the sand. We don't want to face anything. And everything is just getting more and more crazy around us. But then at the same time, what's happening, these dynamic young people are coming to the forefront. And I'm blessed to say Mary Pat is not the only one I know. And so, you know, that's one of my missions is to disprove the lie.
Right.
That, you know, they're all young black young people are now running around gangbanging, fighting, violent, poor, no values. You know, it's just a lie.
Right.
And so that's why I do provide these platforms. Because, again, I think I was just, I don't get pissed about a lot of apathy. I actually met most of the young people online because they go online, they go around. These adults, they're saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, can you help? I'm an author, I've written this, I've done this, from 8 and up.
Right.
And these are platforms where people work with young people, but yet they're just like, you know, a tree falling in the woods. You know, you can't hear it, you know, tree alone falling in the woods. I'm like, geez, it seemed like this would be the bum rush to run to these young people and help them.
Right.
And so I started doing programming. You know, I already had a youth show, but then I started, whenever I get the opportunity, do programs or shows on young people to at least to get them a voice that's out there. with the internet so viral. So, Mary Pat, why don't you reiterate date, time, place for the meeting?
Yes, it's going to be tomorrow, January the 4th, at 632 People Street, Atlanta, Georgia. And it's going to be our town hall meeting where we will not only be discussing and talking about the issues, but making solutions and plans on how we can completely eradicate or decrease violence in our school system.
What time?
At 6 o'clock.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's basically it.
Congratulations to you, and thank you for having a wonderful show, and thank you for doing what you do. We need more of you. And on the radio wave.
Yeah. See, there are a lot of us out there. So, I guess we'll close out with this. See if I have it. I think this is a letter to Little Wayne. These are Watutu from the Now, and these are girls that are they're 10 and 11 years old. And this is their letter to Little Wayne, so we'll roll out on that. Is that okay, Mary Pat?
That is perfectly fine. Watutu from the Nile.
All righty. So next week our show, 8 p.m., will be the flip side, where our young advocates have the mic. And that's where we got a 10 and 11-year-old young males that interview adults on the topic of black male achievement. So make sure you tune in next Tuesday, 8 p.m., for the flip side. And they're Mary Pat's biggest admirers. And then we'll be back here with State of Urgency on the third Tuesday, which is the 17th. We're back on the 17th and the 24th. And it's the first, third, fourth, fifth, and fifth Tuesdays, whenever there's a fifth Tuesday. So that's 8 p.m. here. Massive Real Radio is Youth Day, so just tune in every Tuesday at 8 p.m. And listen to the young people and help them out and support them, and they'll let you know what their concerns are. So, again, peace and love to everyone. See you next week. And this is Letter to Little Wayne.
Sorry, plus I must complain. They call themselves Watutu from the Nile, and their song, Open Letter to Lil Wayne, challenges the rapper for being disrespectful to women in his lyrics. As soon as the video went up on YouTube, it went viral, picked up by websites and getting thousands of likes on Facebook. Within 1 week, Open Letter to Lil Wayne had more than 750,000 views. But who is Watutu from the Nile? And how did they make a video that's got millions watching and thinking?
L-G-E.
This message is to Mr. Wayne. I'm sorry, plus I must complain about what you do and what you say. I'm sorry that I feel this way. And I'm a girl that's only 10. But for my sisters, I must represent. How old are you? I know you're 20-something. Excuse me for the interruption. I guess that means that you're a man. But something I can't understand. The way you talk, the way you act. I hate when you be doing that. And people say no to drugs. So tell me, sir, who should I trust? You or them? Are you promoting something? It's time my people stop the frontin'. Single, a lack of single. You lack knowledge, information, inspiration, and you're single. And then you start cursing. They make it even worse when they play it with the radio version. Make it sound like quiet every other word, and this song gets disturbing. Mr. Wayne, can you stop all the hurting? peace, I hope you're doing fine. I'm winging in the age of nine, and I'm divine. Got my life's purpose, my people, I devote my service. My daddy tell me I'm a queen, but you call women other things. It makes me mad, I can't pretend. Sir, don't call me out my name again. And don't you think it's kinda mean to disrespect a royal queen? We come from greatness, we come from love. Be like Steve Harvey, show your love. I hear you got a little girl. Does she get the same referral? You call the world, not trying to lean. I hope you call a little queen. Single, a lack of single. You lack knowledge, information, inspiration, and you're single. And then you start cursing. They make it even worse when they play it with the radio version. Make it sound like eh, eh, eh. KRS and Lauryn Hill. Pop goes out to Philly Jill and D.I.R.E. and Miss Badu. Some people, just to name a few. These people mean a lot to me. They fill me up with energy. They make my soul feel complete. I love that Public Enemy. Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder. Music that make you wanna clap your hands and stomp your feet. They make you jump up out your seat. Mr. Wayne, I'm about to close this letter. I hope that we can work together and help our people. That's what we need. One love, forget the greed. Single, a lack of single. You lack knowledge, information, inspiration, and you're single. And then you start cursing. They make it even worse when they play it with the radio version. Make it sound like eh, 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 eh.
The letter to all rappers, because most rappers rap about the same stuff he rap about. Most.